What a beautiful day out there. It is Tuesday. It is July 8th. Welcome to Drive Time with DeRussia. It is Jason. You heard Mark Fry with the news. We will talk more since the news media. It's very funny that now I get to complain about the news media. But I've been getting so many calls from TV reporters who want reaction to the fact that Lurk Hot is closing. So I will share some reaction to that. We'll talk to another restaurateur at 4:30 in Hopkins, a restaurant that had a major fire, is reopening in time for Hopkins Raspberry Festival. So that's good news. We'll talk about that and get some reaction about Lurk Hot coming up at 4:30. But we start today with State Senator Aaron Murphy, who joins us in studio. And you can watch us as we have our conversation live on YouTube. Aaron, it's good to have you with us. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So you and I were talking a little bit last week about moving forward after the political assassination and the attempted assassination. I think so much of our conversation in this state, rightly so, has been about Melissa and Mark Hortman. But I also am struck by the fact that there were two other families that were visited by this absolute monster. And then, of course, State Senator Hoffman and his wife, Yvette, and their daughter in Champlin. All of them. I live in Maple Grove. So one of the houses was one of our state reps, and two of the houses were your direct colleagues in the Senate. How are you? You have to deal with obviously the state political future of this, but these are your colleagues and your friends.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
And every day is a little better. And I really appreciate that we're starting together talking about Senator Hoffman and his family and my late and dear friend, Representative Hortman, Speaker Hortman, and her family. Because they are part of our lives, part of my life. Speaker Hortman was elected the term before I was, so we served together. My entire tenure has been populated by Melissa Hortman, and I met John Hoffman 2 decades ago. He was advocating for health care with Tom Harkin at the time. So they are part of the fabric of my life and part of the fabric of our public life. And I think it's important to start there to remember that as we talk about what has been visited upon Minnesota, which I, as you say, evil and on the part of a monster.
It is, you know, and I think a lot about all of, that day. There are certain days in life and in the history of this state that just are seared in your mind. And for me, this will be one of them that in my mind, you think of the 35W bridge going down. And what a catastrophe that was. And I remember after that day thinking, like, I hope we don't ever have another day like this in Minnesota. And I felt that same way that Saturday, now a couple of weeks ago.
You know, that day started for me really early with a call at about 4:30. And I remember watching the press conference with folks from the BCA and DPS and the governor. Using the word assassination to describe the murder of my friends. And it really struck me. And, you know, you make a point about the 35W bridge collapse. And I remember where I was when that happened. I was a newer legislator at the time. And there was such a commitment after that happened to rebuilding that bridge. And, you know, we did that and we did that quickly. And I think an apt metaphor for where we are now is the need to build a bridge, one that we can do together, where we demonstrate once and again our faith in each other in a democracy, in a place where we govern together out of a really horrific tragedy. I hope we're able to find our way to something better, but it is going to take time to heal up the wounds, both the physical, the emotional wounds. And when I think about the place where I serve, and I have loved serving and representing the people of Minnesota, our state capitol has been injured as well, and we have work to do there.
What do you worry about as we talk with State Senator Aaron Murphy going forward?
We're living in a time right now where we're really afraid. We are afraid and fraught people. There's a lot of chaos in people's lives and a lot of uncertainty. One of the the things I'm most proud of this last session and working with Melissa Hortman was a real determination to get that budget balanced before we were anywhere near a government shutdown. And we did that, and we did it with hard-fought compromise. But I worry that people will continue to lose faith in our ability to govern together, using the power of an election to set in motion the people who are there to represent us, and that we together, despite our differences, can find a path to make decisions for the people of Minnesota and for our future, so that Minnesota can continue to be that place where we want to live and raise our families and start our businesses, and hope that our families, you know, and our kids decide to make this their home so we can continue to live that good life.
Do you worry that either sitting legislators are going to say, I don't know if it's worth it?
I think we all have.
Or people sitting on the fence. I think there are other people who maybe our state would be better if they ran. I don't know, man. Like if I said I wanted to run, I think my wife would correctly say, I don't think I want to sign up for this.
There's been such a transition from when I first ran for office and got elected in 2007. And I've worked cycle after cycle with people who are interested in running for office. And there is a chilling effect on the corrosive nature of our politics. So there are people, not that many, but there are people who are tapping out and saying, I don't think I want to engage there. I don't want to put my family through that. But I also am experiencing with the people who are interested in running in the future in 2026, the ones who have already said, yeah, I want to do that. As I have talked with them, their commitment is growing stronger. And I think they're being called to action by what they're seeing and what we're experiencing together. But to your point, I think each of us that are currently serving, thinking about it, we all have to ask the question for ourselves and for our families. Is this the right thing?
Have you asked that for yourself?
I have. Yeah. I have. And I've talked with my family about it.
Oof.
Yeah. You know, tough. They all experienced it. You know, Joe was home with me that day, my husband. My kids live in the Twin Cities. We, you know, it was something that we shared and experienced together. And, you know, that's true when you run for office in the first place. My kids, I think, were 14 and they didn't want anything to do with me as a candidate. but in this case, they were worried, you know, about all our safety.
Yeah. Wow. You know, when this happened and you think about, all right, when you run for governor or you run for president or even like U.S. Senate, you understand like there are people who take politics very personally. And I worry about this, that we're not so good anymore at engaging on issues and disagreements without making it hyper personal. You don't expect that as a state legislature or legislator. I don't think you do. Do you? I mean, you're the majority leader. Maybe you take a little bit more attention, but still, we're part-time legislators in this state. I don't know. It's always felt like a little more homey to me than being literally a target.
Yeah. I have always treasured the way in which we do our work, the openness of our capital, the access that we have, whether it is people to me or me to the people I represent by going to their doors, knocking on their doors and talking to them, listening to them about the issues. I think that's so fundamental to the kind of politics that I believe in that really is about representing the interests of others. And this, I hope, does not dismantle or put a chill on that. I hope that's not the case. But we are seeing, as the vitriol is increasing in our politics in general, more and more of our members, depending on who they are, experiencing death threats and challenges that are coming through social media. And we've had to up, I think, our evaluation of what those are to make sure we understand what's actually coming in our direction.
Do you have a sense as to why that is, or who, I hate to say whose fault that is, but?
Well, I think we could all probably put our fingers on some measure of diagnosis, but I always think the politics that we are experiencing reflects the greater who we are. I do think social media has played a pretty significant role, and I'm a participant in it, but you get to be more anonymous there. Sometimes you can say, or you do say, things that you wouldn't necessarily to say to somebody's face. I think we have experienced a pretty significant departure from telling the truth and fabricating different narratives. I will say on the 14th, as I watched that day play out, and I spent almost all of that day on the phone with a variety of people, our members and, you know, the BCA, et cetera. But I watched in social media as individuals started to build a narrative to try and lay blame for what was happening. We didn't even really know what had happened. And they were building like sandcastles, arguments for why and who was at fault.
Yeah.
That worries me. That sense of disinformation or that act of trying to shape a narrative rather than tell the truth is a worry for me because it is hard for us, I think, to lead in an open and democratic way if we don't have some container for what we know are the facts and the truth of the matter.
Yeah, if we all have our own truth, we're pretty screwed as a society, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking with the Majority Leader of the State, Senator Aaron Murphy. I want to break. When we come back, I do want to talk about some things that the Ramsey County Sheriff talked about today on Chad's show about whether or not we should secure the Capitol. Right now, you can walk in, no problem. It's part of the charm of the People's House. What do we do going forward? We'll ask about that. Plus, get a little reaction. Obviously, there's conversation about how the federal budget bill is going to affect us in Minnesota. So we'll talk about that as well. When we come back, Drive Time on a Tuesday with State Senator Aaron Murphy here on CCO. Senator Aaron Murphy is with us. You know, during the break, the show continues during the break here on CCO. And during the break, we were talking about issues, not personalities. This is my number one. We don't know that the temperature of dialogue had anything to do with these political assassinations. But all I can do is control what I do. And I have tried, especially in my social media interactions with people, to really focus on the issue. Don't make it personal. Don't be like, you're stupid. Why are you this? And just focus on, okay, we could have a conversation about whatever it is we disagree about. We can have a conversation about anything. It takes a little, sometimes you got to delete.
It does. You know, our form of governing in America is built on the fact that we have different perspectives and we're supposed to work our way through those, right? So in there, embedded in there is the idea that we're going to disagree. Mm. How we do that matters. I have been, you know, paying attention and following along the storyline since this person who conducted these assassinations has been apprehended and arrested. And I don't want to draw a fast conclusion, but the pointers, right? Like there was a list and he had writings and they leaned in a direction. I also think we have to make space for there was a point of view to this person. And I don't understand it yet. We don't understand it yet, but I do want to understand that as a part of making sense of what we're experiencing here in Minnesota.
Yeah, they were all Democrats on the list. It just, that is reality.
Yep.
Like, do we know what motivated him? We don't.
We don't.
Yeah. Should we secure the Capitol in a different way?
So when I think about this question of our security, you know, I think in 2008, there was a review by the legislative auditor that showed that Minnesota is high on the scale of openness and low on the scale of security. And we are digging back into where do we stand now?
It's a values question to a certain degree, right?
It is. It is, you know, like we want people to have access to the hearing rooms and to the members who are elected to share their voice because it's important for our governing ability. I think about the chamber, the Capitol, our office buildings, our workspaces,
yeah,
the hearing rooms. I think about our homes, which have been, you know, for years and years, our addresses have been listed publicly. And I think about all the work we do out on the field, town halls, door knocking, campaign events. And how do we make sure that those are places where people, not just elected officials, but the people who come to the Capitol, the press, the people who live in our neighborhoods all feel safe? What is that bubble of safety? And I think we have to ask ourselves all those questions again. Back when they did Prairie Island, I believe they had metal detectors up in the gallery of the chambers in the Senate because it was such a heated and fraught discussion.
Yeah.
And so we are engaging in that discussion. We're already taking some
Sheriff
steps.
Sheriff said he wants metal detectors in sort of a tiered way, like if you work there, you wouldn't have to metal detect through.
I think that we're going to take a look at all of the factors that make sure we're balancing the need for that openness, but make sure that people that are inside the Capitol are safe as well.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that the sheriff is offering his perspective. We're going to work with the state troopers. There are a variety of people who have a perspective and a say, and we're going to take the best of that and do the best that we can for the people.
Is the Minnesota legislature going to have to come back into special session to adjust the budget based on what the Trump administration has just signed into law with the new federal budget?
So all session long, as we have talked about balancing this budget, which I'm so happy we got done, we have known that the Congress could take this action, which they did. And some of my Republican colleagues just didn't believe it was going to happen. But they've taken a pretty big sledgehammer, if you will, to things that we count on when you think about SNAP and Medicaid in particular. And we have to understand what that means for our budget. So before I can say, yeah, I think we need to have a special session, I think we have to dig into that bill and understand the timelines. We have to understand what it means for our budget and for our healthcare delivery system, for support for people, for food support, et cetera. I mean, we have long relied on food shelves and food banks. We were talking earlier about Second Harvest. Like, right. They do a tremendous job, but a part of that work has been SNAP and federal funding for that. So,
well, I'm being honest, like SNAP, getting more people enrolled in the federal program is really a cornerstone. And I think a lot of our listeners know I'm on the board at Second Harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And part of our effort to cut hunger in half in Minnesota was really tied to this idea of getting more people taking advantage of the benefits that are out there.
Yep.
And that changes now.
Yeah, I think it is a really, really fundamental
question.
I'm not
saying it's bad or good, but it is going to have a massive impact on our state budget.
Yep.
You can say if it's good or bad. I can too, but that's not really the point.
Well, I'm worried about it. I'm worried about rural hospitals. I'm worried about hungry bellies. I am worried about our elderly in nursing homes. I'm worried about people with disabilities, right? They rely on things like SNAP and Medicaid, medical assistance here in the state of Minnesota.
Right.
So I feel a real sense of urgency to understand what has happened in Washington, what that means. And in addition to a massive transfer of wealth to the wealthiest among us, I think it's important that we understand what that is before we make a decision about do we need a special session. But we have work to do for sure.
It will change the projections and the reality.
Yep, and we have rural, especially rural hospitals that are already on
They've
the bubble.
They've been struggling.
Yeah. Yes, they have.
Yeah.
And that's not just where do I take my loved one when they need care. Those are really important jobs in communities. They are anchor facilities in communities, like a public school.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, in many ways, those nursing jobs or maintenance jobs or whatever are the stable full-time jobs in certain of our rural communities here in Minnesota, for
sure. That's right.
Yeah. State Senator Aaron Murphy is with us here on CCO. You know, politically today in the Minnesota Star Tribune, the governor said that if he runs again, he'll win, certainly indicating that he may run again. You're a name that has been thrown around as a possibility. What do you think about the governor running again?
I think he's going to make that decision, and I am focused squarely on making sure my colleagues in the Minnesota Senate, my DFL colleagues, get reelected. And, you know, we've been leading with a one-seat majority, 34 members. I'd love to make that 35 so that we have just a little more clarity about what we're doing. So that's where my energy is right now. I love elections. They are a chance for the people of Minnesota to say, this is the direction I want to take. And we've got a vision to share with the people of Minnesota, and we're going to do that.
State Senator Aaron Murphy, we appreciate you coming in. It was nice to have a long conversation about some of this stuff. But I am heartened by the way I've seen Republicans and Democrats really self-assessing here in Minnesota. And I think that's a good sign. It's a good sign for hopefully the way we all can kind of, you know, does this solve the problems? No. But isn't it more fun to have real discussions about issues instead of just yelling at each other?
Yeah.
I think so.
One of the elements of leadership that I learned at St. Kate's when I went to school is modeling the way, right? We should lead the way we believe in. And so I am grateful to see people doing some self-assessment about what are we contributing here and how can we make life better for the people of Minnesota.
Aaron Murphy, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
3:32, we'll break, get you up to date on weather and traffic in just a minute here on Drive Time.